So this series of conversations over these next 7 days is all about allowing cash. You have the desire. Of that, there is no question. You may have questions about this, and you may have taught yourself, for whatever reason, believe that desire is something that must be constantly amplified. But through contrast, desire is being constantly amplified. The dilemma here is never whether the desire is present. The dilemma here, and it's not really that big of a dilemma, is whether you're willing to allow yourself to have the cash that you desire. So cash, as we like to say, is that which you can hold in your hand. It's that which you can observe yourself having. So it's the credit at the bank. It is the dollars, pounds, euro that are in your wallet or your purse, in your hand, in the coffee can that's in the freezer, stuffed under the floorboards or stuffed into the mattress. It's what you have right now. So already you are allowing cash. That is already going on. That is already happening. This series of conversations is about being willing to have it in all ways, at all times. Not always at all times, but in all ways, at all times. So the reason why we draw this distinction is not because there's something you don't know that you need to know. The reason we draw this distinction is because there is something going on here that is quite magical, quite powerful, quite wonderful, and quite delicious. You're in the middle of it, and you're having it. It is having an effect that is giving you the desired contrast and the feedback from physical reality that you desire. You have plenty of cash right now. The idea that what's going to happen is you're going to ramp up your desire and then you're going to get more of it because you ramped up your desire isn't really that helpful an idea. Now, it is helpful to notice that when you have contrast going on, that it does amplify your desire, but it's not the amplification that is significant. So often, what we notice vibrationally is that what each of you want is more of what you have already. This may seem like an astoundingly uninteresting observation that, of course, well, I want what I have and I want more of it in the way that I want more of it right now. And that's good. It's good to notice this. It's good to talk about it. It's good to acknowledge it. But if you'll notice, there is a kind of complicated aspect to this conversation that you just simply don't have in other arenas of your life. So, in the introduction to this series, we talked about oxygen, electricity, and running water. You are not nearly as flummoxed about those three topics as you may be about what you perceive to be cash. The truth is, you're not actually flummoxed at all about cash. You're quite flummoxed about money, the thing that you can't ever have and can't ever get and don't have any ability to manage or handle since it doesn't actually exist. It's an abstract thought that sits out kind of like a cloud that you can't handle, you can't wrangle. There's no way to bring it in, to take it home. It just sits out there as an idea, an idea, an idea, always in contemplation, but never an application. And it is designed to be that way. What's interesting is you don't really have any abstract ideas about oxygen, not really one at all. You may have the abstract idea of what it would be like to be in an oxygen-deprived environment, but you keep it abstract because you're not really actually interested in having that experience. The same is true with running water and electricity. You may have had the direct experience of not having enough oxygen, not having enough water, and not having enough electricity. But for almost everyone we've ever spoken with, those deprivations were very temporary, and they were accompanied by a great deal, powerful contrast, but also the immediate allowing of more. We know that at some point, it seems as though that when we talk about allowing, we're talking about smooth sailing, that you're going to lay back. And we do talk about allowing as being a big feather bed. And that is something we do highly recommend. But allowing is not just one thing or one form. In fact, it doesn't really have a form. It's an approach. It's a vibrational orientation to something. Allowing isn't really even a vibration. It's a methodology, we could say. But really, the best word for it is a vibrational orientation. It's how you're oriented to an idea. You're either allowing it, let's say, or you're resisting it, although it isn't really that kind of a seesaw, because resistance is, in fact, its own kind of allowing, which is a very deep metaphysical conversation. But for the purposes of this topic here today, in this particular conversation, we want to remind you that when you are allowing of something, that means you really are allowing of it. So some of you tend to think that allowing means that you're completely serene and at peace, which is nice, and you may be, and that may be exactly right. But sometimes allowing really does mean that you're running up and down, knocking on every door. We're not saying that that is an approach that anyone should take. We have no idea what allowing would look like for you. And you don't know what it's going to be from one moment to the next. A lot of this conversation will undoubtedly be about how the smothering of contrast is sort of a fake kind of allowing. The attempt to make sure that you never feel bad about anything is not the same thing as feeling better. Far, far from it. Feeling better is a natural thing that is always present and available. Attempting to never feel bad, or attempting to minimize how bad things feel, trying to get stimuli in your environment that will then make you feel better. These are all perfectly fine things, but they don't really achieve what it is that they propose to achieve. And they certainly are not allowing. So in other words, trying to resist the amount of resistance that you've got going on is not really helpful. Allowing yourself to feel resistance, very powerful. Allowing yourself to freak out, very powerful. Allowing yourself to be just utterly cuckoo about all sorts of things, very powerful. Trying to maintain a position, trying to hold firm in place the idea that you're at peace with yourself and that your boat can never be rocked and that you're somehow or another never able to be swayed off of your position. There's nothing allowing about that. There's a logic to it, but it's not even that. It's an attempt to control reality. And it's not necessary, nor is it helpful, nor will you find it terribly useful. You may find it normal, you may find it rather usual, but it isn't, in fact, normal at all. It's highly abnormal, and it takes an awful lot of effort to achieve that particular idea and to keep these things at bay and keep them in place. At the bottom of all this, this is a defensive posture, which is not going to help you. When you defend against something, you are inviting attack. And attack only happens because you have invited it. Since nothing in the physical universe and nothing at all has any desire to harm you or hurt you, since all things are following your lead, when you defend yourself, you're telling your physical reality, you're telling other aspects of how you perceive yourself through emotion or mental states that there's something wrong and that you need to be pushed on it. And that's a much more logical explanation than it really actually is an application. The bottom line is simple. Allowing cache is not the sedation of contrast. It's not injecting a kind of relaxant into the beast. It's not shooting a dart into the rampaging gorilla. Allowing cache means that you may freak out. It means that you may get upset. It means that you may go on a rampage. We're not talking necessarily about physical activity. We're talking about emotional states. But there could be physical parts, and you could find yourself literally knocking on every door, literally calling everyone you know, literally taking action that just simply does not look like it's peaceful or allowing or sedate whatsoever. But in fact, it is highly allowing. Trying to get rid of contrast is not going to help you. Trying to get rid of contrast is painting pink lipstick onto a pig. It's still a pig. You can put lipstick on it or not, and pigs don't really care about lipstick. They care about rooting around and eating. And they're very smart, and so they'll let you, up to a point, put pink lipstick on them in the hopes that maybe you will give them something that they really want. But then they'll probably eat the lipstick. It doesn't really help you to try to assume a position of allowing, to make it look like you are allowing. What's really helpful is to allow, is to let yourself have whatever it is that is arising. You do this when it comes to oxygen, electricity, and running water. Those three experiences, because we're talking about them as commodities, but they really are direct experiences. You benefit from running water, you benefit from oxygen, you benefit from electricity. But if you'll notice, they're also exquisitely manifesting. Running water is not the same thing as an ocean. There's a vast amount of water in an ocean, and it's wonderful, but it's also untamed. And this isn't about controlling anything. This is about exquisite manifestation, which is very, very different. Now, a plumber might tell you, well, you're very much controlling the flow of water, and they're using those kinds of words because you're managing how water comes into the house and how it's distributed, the pressure points, and that sort of thing. You want to keep these things clear. You want to keep these things tightly controlled and regulated. But see, the truth is that unless you are a plumber, you don't really need to know how this works. All you know is the water flowing when you turn on the spigot, and is it stop flowing when you turn off the spigot? You don't need to know how electricity works. All you need to know is, are the devices that you have plugged into the power grid, are they being illuminated or amplified or useful in some way according to the electricity flowing into their circuitry or not? And if it's not happening, what's the next step? And the flow of electricity is one of those things where if you flip the switch and nothing happens, you get really, really clear, really, really fast. I want something to happen right now. This is not what I want. Now, each and every one of you knows that if you sit around and you get really clear about how the electrician or the electric company isn't doing what it is that they're supposed to do, it doesn't work out very well. But if you immediately recognize that everyone everywhere is helping you, and that all you need to do is pick up the phone and say, hey, I don't have power, and be very clear that the person on the other end of the line is helping you, they will indeed help you in some way, shape, or form. It may not look helpful, because it's not their job to make it look like they're being nice and helpful. Their job is to actually do what it is that you want them to do that will continue to provide the exquisite delivery of electricity to your house in the way that is right for you at the right time in the right moment. Which means that it doesn't shock you, it doesn't fry out your electronics, that it's coming to you in a really exquisite way. The electrician would say it's a regulated way. We say exquisite because you're not an electrician. You are the consumer of electricity. You are receiving it in delightful ways in the proper scheme of things, at the right voltage, at the right wattage, at the right delivery, and it isn't shocking you and it isn't burning out your appliances. You're getting exactly what you want. Everything is purring right along and all is well. The same true with water, and certainly the same true with oxygen. So you have powerful desires and you let yourself have them when it comes to these three things. You can do the same thing with cash. You can look at what you have and recognize it. Yesterday, after all of this information was sent out about this particular series, Frank was washing his hands, and he looked at the running water for the first time and really saw it in the ways that we've been talking about all this time, because certainly those of you who are listening to us, most of you have heard us talk about running water. He looked at it and he really sat there and let his hands be caressed by the running water and noticed that it was in the right amount at the right time in the right way and at the right temperature. And that it felt really good to have it. And we said, okay, now let's go into your wallet and go look at what's there. Same thing. Here are these 20s and 10s and 5s and 1s. And these are just as wonderful and delightful and delicious as that flowing stream of water. We recommend the same for anyone listening to this conversation here today. Go look at the running water. Feel it under your hands or on your skin. Maybe you're in a shower, maybe you're in a bathtub, maybe you're in just washing hands in a sink. After having dried off, now go play with the electricity. Turn the switch on, turn the switch off. Notice that the light comes on when you ask it to, and it turns off when you ask it to. Notice that all the different things, the refrigerator, the oven, the appliances, the different media players, the fact that you have the ability to have the internet with a computer that is plugged in, with a device that is plugged in somewhere somehow and is electrified. And all of that is working out for you really, really well. Revel in it, we recommend. Take a deep breath. And enjoy the fullness of the oxygen that comes into you. Now empty your wallet or your purse or the coffee can in the freezer and look at the cash, the dollars, the pounds, the euro, whatever it may be, and revel in it. Notice what it looks like and what it feels like in your hands as you count it. It doesn't matter how much it is. It really doesn't. Just in the same way that you don't really measure electricity, and you don't really measure water, and you certainly don't measure oxygen. We recommend that, at least for a moment, that you temporarily suspend the measuring of cash. You just notice its presence and its plentitude, not in terms of numbers, but in its presence, the fact that it is present. That is the example of its plentitude. In the same way that you have plenty of electricity and plenty of running water. These things are really good to have. Now, we don't recommend you do this if what it means is that you have to get over something in order to achieve the goal of doing what we're saying. That's as useless as the idea of trying to mute contrast in order to demonstrate allowing, as though it's a competition or a game. We recommend that you just do what we're saying because it feels better to do. And if it does not feel better to do, then don't do it. Pretty simple. Do what does feel better, first and foremost, above all things. And then if our suggestions are helpful, then use them. And if they're not particularly helpful, and you know, because one is easy and one is not easy, the one that's easy is the one that's helpful. The one that's not easy is the one that's not helpful. intuition is very clear like this. You always know what feels better, and we recommend you do that and not something that some ghost said, no matter how worthy the words may seem to you. Pay attention to what feels better. Pay attention to what you have that is easy to notice, that you have a plentitude of it. You might go up to the top of a mountain and look out on the valley below and notice that you have an exquisite view. You might take out a canister of flour and with clean and dry hands, dig your way into it and feel the softness of it and how really sensual that is. You may turn to a lover and run your fingers over their body and enjoy the physical presence of their warmth and inviting personage. These are all manifestations of abundance. It doesn't mean you like each and everything. It doesn't mean that each and everything is perfect, perfected, unerring, never going to cause you any trouble. Thank God I don't have to ever think about that problem again. We don't recommend you ever try to do that, although we know many of you do. We recommend that you allow yourself to have whatever it is that you have. Sometimes it's going to look like you're allowing the good with the bad. What we're suggesting is that it's not that you're allowing the good with the bad, it's that you're allowing whatever it is to be what it is. It's not the good and the bad. It's the beneficial. It's the helpful. It's what's here. It's what's manifesting. That can't be anything other than helpful. It doesn't mean you have to look at everything. It doesn't mean you have to taste everything. It doesn't mean you have to touch everything. It means that it is there and present and helpful for you right here and right now. That is the nature of cash. You have the right amount of cash right here and right now. One of the things that we do recommend through the series of conversations that we know will be evolving in ways that we know are going to be utterly magical and utterly fantastic and utterly delicious is that you be willing, as it feels right to you, to bring to us your questions, your thorny questions about cash, even if you think you've asked the same question 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Whatever the question is, if it arises and it feels better to you to ask it, we invite you to do so. You don't have to come up with something just to be nice. We're just saying the floor is open and we invite you to come to us with your questions. You've never asked whatever question you're about to ask before, even if you think you have. And even if we say you've talked about this before, it's not the same question. So, with that, what we will say to you is this. That once again, as wonderful and as delightful and as amazing as this conversation has been, we know that it is only getting better and better and better from here.